It's lovely to be with you guys this morning. Good morning. For those of you who I haven't met yet, my name is Haya, married to you, Henry, which is usually running around with the kids as well. And it's such a privilege for us to serve on the eldership team with Andrew Selly leading the whole Josh Chen and Richard Gordon leading the Somerset West congregation. And he sent us a message during the week being on the beach. And so I was quite jealous, I must say. But he is enjoying his time with his family, and we keep on praying for them as a couple, that they really get refreshed in the Lord, and they're coming back in about 10 days. So, and then the Gordons will be back. So looking forward to have them back soon. I said to him yesterday, it's not the same without them. And they are really such pillars in this house, you know, having to plant and grow this congregation. It's such a testimony of the Lord building his house, isn't it? Are you guys with me? Great. So this morning I want to share a word that's been stirring on my heart for quite a while, and I'll get into that just now, and then afterwards we're going to respond in celebrating communion together as well as worship and really just glorifying His name. And so what I want to speak about this morning is actually what the Bible speaks about in quite regularly, and that's the house of God. The Bible is full of just pictures of what the church is. It's a family. Can you guys help me? What else? Family. Yeah, that is also true. The church is fellowship. What's that? An army. Body of Christ. A bride. A bride. It's also a bride. We bride together as His bride. Yes. And so the Bible is full of pictures of what the church is. And this morning I want to focus on a building, His house. The church is the house of God. And the way I grew up is you get the church. It's a building, literally, that you go to. But I think it's more than that. It's a people that we make up the church. And then the building really just facilitates the life of the church. But God gives this picture, the house of God. And I want to jump into that this morning, that it's not just a physical building. It is a people becoming a place where God dwells. A place as Christians, people loving Jesus, a place where His presence is. And so I wonder if you can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to read the scripture. It's quite profound. As you come to Him, He's referring to Jesus. As we come to Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, that's us, by the way, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Quite a powerful message. That we come as broken bricks, really. As broken pieces. We come to Jesus, who is the living stone. And I'll get into a bit more detail just now. But we come to Him, which is the living stone. And He is the one making us alive. Those of you who've been following Jesus for a while, is it true that God has formed something of Himself in you? You came to Him as broken, just broken pieces, really. Now, the Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us on the cross. And He is the one making us alive. So, sitting here this morning, are you alive? Are you just breathing, or are you actually alive? Are you alive within? Like there's something in your heart that's stirring all the time. There's a hunger for the Lord. There's a hunger for His house. Because that is the Lord at work within you. And so we come to Him, the living stone, and He makes us alive. And now we get to be alive. Now we get actually to be living stones. So you're a living stone. I know in today's culture and, you know, with technology, we don't really build with living stones anymore. It's weird to think that we don't build with stones anymore. I know you guys, we were with you guys in a community this past Wednesday, and they're busy building a little area there, and there's bricks and there's builders involved, and it's a whole thing. It's a whole, you know, there's an architect probably involved, and there's a lot of things involved in just building a room or building a house. And so the Lord built his house with me and you. We are the living stones. We are the bricks, so to speak. All right? So stick with me, because there's purpose for why we are here this morning. There is something specific that the Lord wants to come and activate in us to realize that we are not supposed to be a brick lying on its own on a little, you know, what do you call it? On a little pile on the side of the road. The Lord uses us and he builds us together. We are a spiritual house that the Lord is building together. And there's purpose for it. 1 Peter said that we are being built to be a holy priesthood. So the Lord gave us something to do. Not just to come here and listen to a message and go, but something to do, someone to be. Get what I'm saying? There's purpose for why we are gathering. And so, did you know that you're actually a priest? If you ever wanted to go in ministry, you get to be a priest in God's house. You don't have to go to a theology school. You don't have to jump through the certain hoops. You get to be a living stone, which God has called us to be in his house. So you've got a part to play. Whether you are new, whether you have been here for years, you've got a part to play. And isn't that encouraging that the Lord entrusts us to help build his house? We get to partake with the living stone, the architect, the master builder. We get to partake with him. So much purpose in his house. And so, great to see Isel. Yeah, she was in Gordon's Bay leading worship last week. And I want to just, I didn't ask her to do this, but we went on an outreach together to Ireland, a couple of years ago. And it was such an incredible time, spending time with the 412 Church and just building into them. I took a little team over. It was quite a busy time. And we, at one stage, had a day where we just didn't have much to do on the calendar or on the schedule. And so we decided, let's go for some sightseeing, right? When you go to a country, you always find time to do some sightseeing. And so who of you like museums? Okay. All right. I can't stand it, to be honest. But let me tell you something about Isel. She was the first one to lift her hands. I didn't even finish my question. She's like, yes, I love museums. Isel loves museums. And so now we are in the city in Ireland. And in Ireland, there's a lot of, castles and museums and old historic buildings, and it's beautiful. And so now we're trying to find our way through the city, looking for some beautiful buildings and places to visit. And the way Yohandri and I travel is completely different to how Isel travels, right? So our approach is this. Oh, this is a beautiful building. Let's take a photo. All right, let's go to something exciting, like a coffee shop or something, you know? And so Isel, on the other side, she goes in, okay, see you guys in 4 hours. I'm going in here, and she had a time of her life. Came out just loving it. But I couldn't stand it. It was torture. To go into a museum for me is, it's torture. But you know what, I think we sometimes forget that the Lord is building a house that's alive, where a museum is a place full of ornaments. And maybe I'm a bit biased this morning. Have you seen a museum full of things that are alive? No. A museum is supposed to be a place that kind of portrays all these ornaments. And you know what an ornament is? Let me tell you. It is a thing used to make something look more attractive, but actually having no practical purpose, according to the dictionary. Sorry, Isel. But I want to tell you this morning that the church is not a museum. The church is not a museum. It's not a building full of ornaments without life. It's supposed to be full of life, where people can come to and experience the very thing that gave us life in the first place, which is Jesus. The living water that flows because His presence is among us. To experience the presence of Jesus is really what we all need. And so, God wants us to be a church that's alive. Not a place where people can come and look at something, something spectacular, something that is from the outside seemingly alive, but attends a place where people are full of life, presence with us, they're experiencing freedom that Jesus gives. Church that is alive. So, look, I'm not a builder by any means. I had a conversation with someone in the community as well and talking about the different aspects of what goes into a building. But I want to quickly just, in my own simple words, explain what a building is made of. And please come and correct me afterwards. But in my just to kind of simply put it, a house is firstly needs a foundation. And then secondly, it needs bricks and lots of other stuff. But let's just focus on those two things for this morning. A house needs a foundation and bricks. All right? Now all the builders are like, oh, where are you going with this? This is heresy. But a house simply needs a foundation and needs bricks. And the foundation, who is that in the church? Jesus. Jesus is the foundation. The Bible speaks about He is the cornerstone which we build upon. And interesting enough, the cornerstone, and again, with technology and the way we do things now, you don't really find like an old school cornerstone like how the temple was built back in the day. But I did some research, and the cornerstone was the very first brick that was laid. And from that brick, everything else got built upon. From that brick, from that stone that was laid, the direction of the building was set. And if that cornerstone wasn't in place, if that cornerstone wasn't built properly, the walls would have got skewed, the roof would fall in at some point, there will cracks, there will surface. It will actually become dangerous to go into that building. And let me tell you, if the church is not built properly on Jesus as the cornerstone, walls will go up, it will kind of look the same from the outside, but at some point, cracks will show. At some point, this will actually become dangerous for you. And that's why it is so important that we build the church on Jesus. Not on the latest trend. Not on what's the guys doing in California. But actually on the person of Jesus. We need to make sure that we build the church on Jesus. Because that really determines the direction moving forward. And then we need bricks, right? And that's us. Move on. But we are bricks. And a brick is essential for a wall, right? And let me tell you this. If we had to build this hall that we are in, and some bricks were missing in the wall, it will look weird. It will look unfinished. It will, hey, something's wrong. We need to patch up certain areas in this wall, right? But let me tell you, if there's a hole in the wall, guess where the wind will come in? Guess where the heat within the building will leak out? And so if you are not in your rightful place as a living stone, guess where the life of the church will leak out? actually through your life that's not built properly, that's not built in the right place. And as each person, as each living stone is built in within, because God builds us together to become a place where He dwells, to be a spiritual house, if we are built in properly, this unity, it's complete, it feels like this is how it's supposed to be, it's life that flows. And so, you're not just here to warm a seat. You're here to be built in together so that God can be with us. So much more purpose than what we think we have. In Bloemfontein, where I come from, those of you who have been to Bloem, I'm sorry. It is, during the winter time, it's cold and there's not much to do. Right? And I'm a little bit into mountain biking. Brian took me for a ride the other day. I suffered and skulking. Those guys are quite fit. Anyway, and so I'm loving the mountains. I'm loving all the trails that we've got in this area. But in Bloemfontein, there wasn't a lot of trails, to be honest. I mean, driving on the tar road was kind of mountain biking, going through all the potholes, and it's quite wild. It's like I just gave an example of that. That's not how the church is supposed to be built. Anyway, the door is closed. But so now I'm in Bloemfontein, and I want to do some activities, and I love mountain biking, and so now I'm out and about looking for some trails. And there's this one wildlife estate in Bloemfontein called Woodlands. You guys are right. You guys closing the door. So there's this wildlife estate called Woodlands. And so Woodlands is the place to go if you want to do some mountain biking. There's some single trails. And I remember this one day going into Woodlands. And so Woodlands is this, just to give you some context, is this beautiful place with massive houses. It's just insane houses. I don't know which estate would be similar, but it's beautiful houses. And now I'm on my mountain bike in Woodlands, and I see this building, and it just looks weird. It just looks out of place. You can see it's a house. It was a house, but the roof is kind of halfway, just not there, and the walls aren't built properly. The windows are out. It just looks like no one's living there. It looks weird. It almost didn't make sense to me. Why would you have a house in Woodlands that looks like this? And all the other houses are just, man, beautiful. It got me thinking, sometimes we can even be part of something that is healthy, but our house, is it built up properly? Is it a place where you want to be? Is it a place where God wants to live? When I looked at that house in Woodlands, I'm like, I don't want to live there. This is dangerous for my health. This is dangerous for everyone. And I believe that God wants a house where He wants to be. Not just a house that unfinished, not just something that is not properly built, but a house where He wants to be. And friends, let me tell you that the church is not supposed to look like that house in Woodlands. If the church is the very answer for this world, we need to give attention to the builder, the living stone who is building his house. So what does it take for us to God? What does it take for us so that God can dwell with us? What does it take? Because if you're anything like me, man, I'm hungry to see God move among us. I'm hungry to see Him being with us. What does it take? And I've got a couple of practical things that I want to go through. Just some signs that shows that Jesus is with us. And can I tell you that we're not a perfect church? And so don't measure yourself. You know, we need to measure with the Bible. And that is our standard. We're not a perfect church. But are we aiming towards Jesus, the cornerstone, who is the perfect one? And realizing that we've got a part to play in purifying and perfecting the church. And so before I go through some of the things, I want to read the scripture in Ephesians 2. Are you guys with me? Ephesians 2:19-22. So then, You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And there we go. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together. So we are being joined together. So we're not finished yet. It's a work in progress. We can put up a board outside of the church saying, under construction. Jesus is coming back for his church, and it's under construction. And we are readying ourselves for his return. And until that day, we are under construction, being built together, being joined together. And that building grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, in Jesus, you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God to dwell by his Spirit. Will we know if God is not here? How easy is it to just go through the motions? How easy is it to just go to community and come to a Sunday and the band is practicing and we've got our prayer meeting and the guys are packing our chairs and it's, how's it? Hello, hello, nice to see you. How's your week? And we go through some stuff. How easy is it then to miss God in it all? Will we know whether his presence is here or not? And I'm hoping that I'm stirring us this morning to be hungry for his presence. Realizing without his presence, we're just playing church. We're just actually wasting our time. And I do mean that respectfully. It's about Jesus. It's about gathering around him. Him dwelling with us and us coming together around him. Because it is about him. I remember I joined Josh Jen 13 years ago. Coming from a very traditional conservative background. And my very first meeting in Josh Jen was wild. I don't know if some of you had this same experience. I remember coming into Josh Jen in my first Sunday meeting. And I was like, these guys are different, eh? These guys are different. And it was almost confronting for me. Because for years I grew up in a certain way, and then suddenly I see Christians that are passionate on a different level. I thought I was passionate, and then I saw passion. I thought I was loving, and then I saw love. I thought I was caring, and then I saw care. I thought I was worshiping, and then I saw worship. I thought I was praying, and then I saw people praying. I experienced life. I don't know how else to explain it, but I experienced life. Have Josh Jen made some mistakes over the years? Yes. Will we still make mistakes? Yes. But I experienced life. And that just ruined my whole way of seeing church. And I started reading the scripture in a different way. I was like, why haven't anyone told me this? I remember saying this. Why haven't anyone told me this? But I experienced life, and that's where I started really loving Jesus. Thanks for closing that door quickly. I started loving his church. Do you love his church this morning? Do you love his church this morning? For years I loved Jesus. Then I experienced life within the church, and I was like, man, I love his church. And again, I say this, loving Jesus means that we're loving his church. It means we're loving his body, the bride of Christ, the building, the house. Do you have a love for his church? And so, let's jump into some of those signs and just evidence that God is among us. And can I ask us, as we listen to this, don't think critically about the church over there. Because the church is me and you, us. And so listen to this, being critical of yourself, perhaps, this morning. Thinking, okay, what can I change within me to add to his church? Because we can't wait for the change. We need to be the difference in the change. Does it make sense? So let's look at some things to know if Jesus is really with us or not. Firstly, his presence is tangibly felt when he's with us. When last did you experience His presence? When last? When last were you in worship, just getting tears in your eyes, and you're just, man, I'm just experiencing His presence? Is Ilse here? Sorry, there's many Ilses here in this church, I know. No. Ilse Berger, Lo's wife, where are you? In the mom's room. Can someone get her? Sorry, Ilse. I just actually wanted to share something quickly as she comes. But I want to say that His presence will be felt when He's with us. Matthew 18, verse 20. Where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I among them. When the early church met in Acts chapter 2, it says that awe came upon every believer because Jesus was with them. Man, I'm longing for those meetings where we're just in awe of Jesus. Last Sunday was one of those Sundays, right? It was like, I loved it. I loved it. Because there was awe. Not a, ooh. It was just love being with Jesus. Sorry, Ilse, I'm putting you on the spot. We spoke about it in the week, but maybe come and share that testimony that you shared what happened last week with worship. Will you do that? You.
Is this last week, I was in the mom's room with Silas, and he was just about to fall asleep, so I put him in the pram, and this helped out this. I actually, the screen didn't work. I had no idea what was going on in there, but I obviously heard a little bit, you know, the worship going on. And then when he was just asleep, I was like, I need to get into the room. Something's happening there. And I came down here, and this door was open. And as I walked past this door, literally the spirit hit me, and I couldn't, I was just like, the tears immediately, my tears started flowing, and I just stood there and I started worshiping there, and it was just an amazing, it was just an amazing encounter, and I just felt he prompted me there already, like, you have to get in there, something's happening there and it's moving. And as I walked all the way back, I could see all the way back, like, everyone was engaged, really, like, the spirit was moving. It was just such an awesome.
Thanks, Ilse. How incredible is that? Man, I'm getting goosebumps as I'm listening to that because it makes me hungry for more. It makes me hungry. Oh, Lord, can we just skip the preach and worship, you know? I've got a whole list of things that I want to go into. Are you hungry for His presence? And it's us partaking with Him. You know, if Jesus is with us, we'll experience a peace that comes from Him. We'll experience a conviction of the Spirit, Him talking to us. We'll experience a joy. We'll experience healing. We'll experience just worship. And the Bible speaks about worship in spirit and in truth. And we'll get to experience Him as we worship Him rightly. It's a sense of life when He's with us. Man, even Wednesday night community, just Alan led so beautifully. Hey, before we start, let's just worship quickly. And we worship. We played a song, and it was, yes, it's about Him. And we did some prophetic things, but it's all about Him. Let's run through these things quickly. Evidence that Jesus is with us is lives are being transformed. Lives are being transformed when Jesus is with us. You'll see people get saved. People that are in deep in sin, needing just help. People getting saved. People getting baptized. If you haven't been baptized in water, man, let's do that. Baptizing someone next weekend, just before the gathering. We're excited about it, man, because there's signs of life within us. God is moving. And if God is at work, if God is working with you, you'll experience a stirring to obey Him in all things. But lives are being transformed in His presence. You'll see people being filled with the Spirit. Oh, I remember the day someone prayed for me, and because it's like, man, I noticed more. I noticed more, and I was like, hey, please pray for me. And a couple of guys came around me, hey, let's just pray for you. Nothing weird and wacky. Just want to pray for you. Lord, can you fill higher with your Spirit? And I got filled with the Spirit. And I remembered a day when I got baptized in the Spirit. Man, something changed in me. I couldn't be the same anymore. There was a hunger within me. Man, there was a devotion that I just wanted to live out. I just wanted to spend time with Him. Every opportunity that I got, I was just like, I want to be with the Lord. Because now I'm full of Him. You'll see people bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm sure as you look at Ethan's life, 6 months, and you know how he was 6 months ago. And you see him this morning, I'm sure you see fruit on his life. Something's different. He sounds different. He prays differently. What happened with you? I just sense that. I didn't know you before, but I just sense something happens. There's fruit of the Spirit. If the Lord is at work in your life, fruit will be evident. 1 Peter says, be holy for I am holy. You'll see a holiness come about us. You'll see people saying no to sin. You'll see people repent of sin. You'll see people in worship and in the preach just coming before the Lord, bowing their knee to Him. Lord, I'm sorry. That's the Lord at work. That's evidence that the Lord is with us. That's not something we can do in the flesh. It's a work of the Spirit to bring conviction to our hearts. Yeah, I've got so much to say. Knowing that Jesus is with us is, the Word is not just being read. It's being taught and it's been lived out. The Bible is our manual. You need to know that. This is the way we build our lives. It's on Him. And He has given us His Word, His written Word, and we build our lives upon it. So we submit our lives to what He has said. He is our authority. So if the Bible says one thing, who are we to say, no, it's actually this? We come under His Word. His Word directs our path. He is the one that gives us the boundary in which we live upon, which we live our lives with. Does it make sense? We can't just do whatever we want to. He's like, Lord, we want to obey You because You have said, and now we do. So if you see people living out the Word of God, it's evidence that God is with us. If you see people loving one another, it's evidence that God is at work. We were praying about it this morning, you know, in John 13. By this, everyone will know that you are My disciples, that if you love one another. Not just on a surface level. Not just every Sunday, hey, how's it? You know what I'm saying. Going deeper. Really loving. In our actions. In the way we pray, in the way we help, in the way we support one another. Loving one another. Having fellowship with one another. And I mean a deep love. Where we serve one another. Where we forgive one another. Where we carry one another's burdens. That is evidence that Jesus is among us. It says, by the love you have for one another, people will see. People will see. Is this all right, Brian? Evidence that Jesus is with us is where every believer is devoted. Where every believer is active. Not like running active. You know what I mean? Spiritually. God has placed you in a spiritual house. Man, and I'm actively serving. I'm actively being there. Every believer. A church where there's no spectators. But rather everyone participating in the ministry. And I know Sundays are quite limited when it comes to ministry. And it is a good thing that we are messing with our boxes, right? Because church isn't just a Sunday. Church is the whole week. Walking into coffee shops and you see Christians discipling one another. People helping others move house, and people helping practical needs. People going to pray for one another, and the prophetic flowing in the church. And there's a sense of, man, we are living out our faith. Where everyone is active, where the body is functioning, where the gifts are flowing. You see people are getting healed. You see prophecy is flowing. You see people are serving. because it is the gifts that God has given us that we get to contribute to serve one another. A devotion to the things of God. Hebrews 10, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. There's a purpose why we gather. I mean, it's a priority. And we get to go away on weekends and we get to take leave and those things are important. But at the core, within your heart, you know this is a priority. I don't have to convince myself to go to church. And to be honest, I've been there many times. Where I just, oh, I don't want to go. Am I the only one that experienced that before? And it's real because the flesh is real and I didn't sleep well and it was a busy week and there's lots of reasons. But the Lord says in His Word, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. It's a priority in my life. And so when I go away on weekends for holiday, that's fine. We need to rest. But at the core, our hearts need to burn together with His saints. So it is something happening, be there. And we are moving quickly, eh? I mean, it's every Sunday, and I realize, okay, that group wasn't here, or that guy wasn't here. I'm like, oh, it's such a bummer, because we're moving quickly in many ways, and most sermons build on one another, and it's not like we're doing series as such, but it builds momentum, it builds direction into where the Lord is taking us. And so if you miss out, don't feel condemned about it, don't feel bad about it, catch up the recording, or jump into community again, chat about it, but be part of the slipstream of where God is taking us. Devotion, man. Probably need to land. Maybe you can jump onto the guitar and we can worship. That'll be great. Evidence that God is with us is worship is God-centered. Worship is God-centered. Is worship God-centered for you? Or is worship actually about how you felt during the worship time? Is worship about how good the musician was? Is it about external things? Or is it a devotion in your heart wanting to glorify God? And the Father is seeking worshipers that will worship in spirit and in truth. People that are coming around His presence to worship Him. Someone once said recently, I spoke to the guy leading that church and he said, he gave him some feedback, which we regularly get, which is helpful. But he said to the guy, oh, worship wasn't that great for me this morning. And the guy replied, well, it's not a problem. Worship was anyway for God, not for you. It's not about what how you feel about it. It's about how He feels about it. It's about whether worship is actually pleasing unto Him or not. Worship is for Him. And how often do we approach these things, these church things, which is essential? How often do we approach these things with a kind of a self lens? You know? Do they have kids' church that will look after my kids? I planted a congregation a couple of years ago in Bloemfontein. We had no kids. And then you get a couple with three kids coming to visit you. And you're so excited. Yeah, it's so lovely to have you. And they're like, oh, but it's no kids' church. Oh, okay. And then you realize, Lord, you need to come and change our perspective of why we go to church. Why are we doing this? Is it to get something? And I know what it's like. We're all looking for needs to be met. But let me tell you, I believe that the Lord will meet your needs as you come and devote yourself to Him and His church. Even though there might not be your practical needs, won't necessarily always be met. But there's something within you that gets met as you come and devote your life to Him. When last did we just had a freedom in worship? And I think we've experienced some of that in the last couple of weeks. Just a freedom that comes, man. Where there's a joy that erupts in your heart where you just can't hold back. And I loved it. Last week, I was actually standing somewhere here. I can't remember where. I was looking back and I just saw people worshiping. I loved it. I loved what I saw. I just saw people worshiping. And I know what it's like. Some Sundays are quite flat and you You need to dig quite deep, you know. But even if you don't feel like it, man, will you worship Him? Because it's not about feeling. It's not about hype. It's not about, you know, the drums kicking in a certain way and then you're like, yeah! No, man. It's much deeper than that. It's a deep desire to worship our Maker, the one who made us, the one that sustains us, the one that is coming back for us. Oh, Lord. Just sense His Spirit right now, actually. Maybe just close your eyes. I've got a list of other things, which I'm not going to get to now. But just close your eyes. I just feel like the Lord is dealing with our hearts even in this moment. Just stirring our hearts again. Giving us a desire to see His church built properly. Giving us a hunger to come into His presence. Where it's not about us. Where it's not about me. Where it's all about You, Jesus. Captivate our hearts even right now, God. By Your Spirit, just present your hearts to Him. With your eyes closed, with just in your own words, Lord, my heart is Yours, God. My life is Yours. You are the one that deserves it all, Lord. Oh. Lord, we just want to invite You. Maybe it's just stand where you are. Can we invite Him in to this spiritual house? Can we invite Him in to come and dwell among us by Spirit as each one of us take a step to be built in, to give of ourselves to Him? God, You're so welcome in this place. Have Your way. Have Your way, God.